God has been good to us, hasn't he? Can you say amen? God is so good. And today we're going to continue in our series, Live in the Moment. And our opening verse is from Genesis chapter 3. We're going to read one verse in Genesis chapter 3. That's verse 8. Or verse 9, I'm sorry. 3 verse 9. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Let's pray. Lord, once again, we're reminded in Isaiah 53, it says that all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has gone his own way. Lord, we know that that's true of every one of us here in this room. But Lord, our desire is to be found by you and to be in your presence and to worship you and to love you and to stand on that firm foundation, that solid rock of Jesus. And so, Lord, today, again, as we just ask that question, where are we? We pray, Lord, that you will help us to live for you, to live in the moment, knowing that you've prepared us for this time, for this moment in time. And Lord, we don't want to miss it, and we don't want to miss you. So lead us and guide us by your Spirit as we look to you and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. When the Lord asked that question, it was literally asked to someone who was hiding from him, whose name was Adam. Adam was hiding, and God said to him, "Where are you?" But we've been looking at this question in different aspects because God is wanting to know where all of us are. And don't we want to know that as well? This is one of the reasons why in my devotions every day, I go before the Lord and I ask him to search my heart, as David did. And I ask him to create in me a clean heart, as David did as well. Because I when I ask him to search my heart, it's because sometimes, you know, we've read in Jeremiah 17, what? The heart is deceitful above everything else and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So our hearts will try to deceive us. We might think we're in one place, but when God shines his light on us, we recognize, oh, maybe we're in a different place. So we asked the first week, where are you in your listening to God? Are you listening for him? The next week we asked, what did we ask last week? I lost my brain here. But today we're asking, where are you in remembering? What did we ask last week? Anybody got a clue? I got to do this and look. Preparing. We said, where are you in preparing the way for the Lord in your life? See, I should write some more things down. But today we're asking, where are you in remembering? As we're talking about Thanksgiving this week, where are you in remembering God? And our opening text was Genesis 3, 9, but we're going to go to Psalm 103. We're just going to read verses 1 through 2 and then maybe look at the rest of the psalm throughout the message. But this is what Psalm 103 says, and it's written by David. And it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." He says, and forget not all of his benefits. How quickly we lose sight of the signs of God's faithfulness and love and fall back into some of our old habits. Every one of us. When God has moved in our life and he's showed himself strong in our life, it's so easy for us to forget that. And in this fall, we really mirror the ancient Israelites. Because imagine what Israel went through. They were a nation in bondage. They were in bondage to the Egyptians. Literally in bondage to the Egyptians. And God sent a deliverer whose name was Moses. And they saw God do miraculous sign after miraculous sign after miraculous sign. Have you ever seen God work in your life? Has he worked in your life in miraculous ways? Because as many of you know so much of my testimony, God has worked in my life in miraculous ways. And finally, God brings his people of Israel out of Egypt after the 10 plagues that came upon the Egyptians. And then there they are opposite the Red Sea. So the Red Sea's on one side, There's mountains on both sides, and then behind them are the Egyptians coming after them. And they're in a pickle. And they're getting mad at Moses, and God says to Moses, raise up your hands, raise the staff in your hand, and the sea opens up, and they go through the sea on dry ground. I mean, could you imagine that? See, I believe that that literally happened. And I've seen the video that shows the evidence of such a thing taking place. But this is what Psalm 106, verse 13, and then verse 21 and 22 say about the children of Israel after they'd come out of Egypt. It says this, but they soon forgot his works, and they did not wait for his counsel. And then verse 21 to 22 says, but they forgot God, their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, and awesome deeds by the Red Sea. They forgot. They forgot what God had done. You know, I think of that and I say, how could you forget? We're gonna see a little bit. We're gonna look into that a little bit. How can we forget? Well, we fail to do three things consistently. Those three things are to thank, to think, and to tell. We sometimes fail to thank God. We sometimes fail to think, to remember what God has done. And then we sometimes fail to tell what God has done. So let's look at thank first. He says, and forget not all of his benefits. Spurgeon had this to say about that verse. He said, memory is very treacherous about the best things. By a strange perversity engendered by the fall, it treasures up the refuse of the past and permits priceless treasures to lie neglected. In other words, our fallen memory will much more easily remember the bad things that have happened than the good things. He goes on and says, it is tenacious of grievances. We can't forget the grievances, but it holds benefits all too loosely. How quickly they just slip through our hand. I forgot that God did that for me. Observe that he calls all that is within us to recall all the Lord's benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Have there been blessings that God has given you for which you have not given thanks? Or which you are forgetting to thank him for now? Look at Romans chapter 1. In Romans 1, verse 21, it says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. The first step in becoming a fool is to know God and not to honor him as God or give him thanks. To know that there's a God, but not to honor him as God or to give thanks. When you start to do that, you're on the road to being a fool. Romans 1. Think of the story of Esther. It's a powerful story. And I love that story. When Esther was made queen of the Persian kingdom. And the king, you know, that king to me was a dichotomy. Haman comes to him and says, you know, there's a certain people in your kingdom that, you know, they're not worth having around. I think we should kill them all off. Basically, that's what he says. And you know what the king says? Okay. Do whatever you want to do to them. Don't worry about the money. Just do it. No investigation. He doesn't even check in to see, you know, who are these people that this man wants to kill off. I'm thinking to myself, this is crazy. So later on, or earlier actually, in that story, it talks about Mordecai. Mordecai was the cousin of Esther. And Mordecai exposes a threat to the king. Bigthana and Teresh, they were going to assassinate the king. And Mordecai found out about it and told the king through Esther. So we get to chapter 6, after Haman has decided to kill all of the Jews, and the king has put his stamp, his seal of approval on it. We get to chapter 6, and there comes this night when the king can't sleep. And he, because he can't sleep, he says, bring the chronicles of my kingdom and start reading them to me. All in the providence of God. Do you ever notice how God works providentially in your life? And in the providence of God, he's reading through the chronicles of his kingdom, and it comes to the part where Mordecai spoke up to save the king. And this is what the king says. What honor or recognition has been given to Mordecai? And what did they say? Nothing has been done for him. That's a picture of what we're talking about right now. Although they knew God, they did not honor him as God nor give thanks to him. And sometimes, as Spurgeon was talking about, sometimes God can do something powerful on our behalf. And 5 years down the road, we'll say, well, what praise or what thanks did you give to God? And well, nothing. I didn't do anything. I just accepted it and went on. And God says, and the psalmist here says, forget not all of his benefits. And as we, this is why I love the fact that we in this country have set aside a day to give thanks to God. You see, that's what this day is set aside for. It's not, it's set aside to give thanks to God. And our founders believed in God. And they decided they wanted to give thanks to God. And the pilgrims knew that God had provided for them, that God had protected them, and that God was moving on their side. And they knew that they needed to give thanks to God. This is what 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18 says. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, we forget oftentimes to give thanks for the good things that happen. But notice what the scripture is saying here. Give thanks for all the good things that happen, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Give thanks for all the good things that have happened, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. No. Give thanks in all circumstances. You know, sometimes our minds, you know, we think, you know, we don't always understand what's going on, do we? We don't always understand. But what do we know? We know that God is good. We know that God is for us, that he's not against us. And so no matter what happens, we need to train ourselves, in all circumstances, we need to train ourselves to be careful to give thanks to God. You know, I need help in this area. That's why it's good for messages like this, because we need to be reminded that we need to give thanks to God. I'm going to go on to the next thing. Think. We need to give thanks. We not to forget not all of his benefits. The children of Israel forgot, but you want to know what? The disciples also forgot. There's a powerful little illustration of this in the Gospels. And in Mark chapter 6, we have the feeding of the 5,000. And then when we get to chapter 8, there's the feeding of the 4,000. But listen to what it records for us in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 8. And his disciples, well, let me start from verse 1. In those days when, again, a great crowd had gathered. Again. So, in other words, he's already fed the 5,000. They've seen what he's done. Again, a great crowd has gathered, and they had nothing to eat. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way. And some of them have come from far away. Now, this just goes to show sometimes how short our memory can be. And his disciples answered, well, how can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place? And Jesus asked them, how many loaves do you have? You see, a few chapters earlier, we don't know how much time has gone by. It doesn't really matter how much time has gone by. I think that if I had been there when he fed the 5,000 with five loaves and two fish, I think that I would have remembered that. You think. But see, here we're seeing human nature. I am no different than these disciples, and neither are you. God can move in a powerful manifestation of his power in 2 weeks, 3 months, a year down the road. We'll forget all about it. We'll be in the exact same situation again. We're going to say, what are we supposed to do about this? How can we feed all of these people? This is our human nature. This is why we need to be thinking about what God can do. And one of the reasons why this happens, like let's go back to Mark chapter 6, and I just want to read a portion of Mark chapter 6. And look at this. It's right after Jesus fed the 5,000. What is the next thing that happens? Well, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat, this is verse 45, and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. That happens on a regular basis. I've seen it myself. Because I saw Bruce Almighty. Okay. He meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. Why? For they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. This just tells me something about myself again. How easily it is for me to not understand what God is doing. And to see God do a mighty miracle in my life and to have my heart be hardened. To not get it. To not get it. And I need to understand, and you need to understand, that this is your tendency because of the fall. Your tendency because of the fall is to forget his benefits. This is why the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Because it is part of our nature to see this great thing happen and then not to get it, to lose it over time. And because sometimes our hearts can be hardened. You know, what does it say in Isaiah 1, verse 3? It says, the ox knows its owner. And the donkey, its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Again, the children of Israel, God has been manifesting himself to them over again and over again and over again. But they're not getting it. They're not understanding. Think about where you are today. Where are you at right now? Where are you? Isn't that what we opened up with? Where are you in remembering? But think about where you are. Think about what you have. Has God had a hand in it? Or was it all your own doing? How many of us really understand all that God has done for us? Deuteronomy 8:18. He says, you shall remember the Lord your God. He's calling us to remember. Forget not all of his benefits. Remember. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Whatever you have, whatever you've accomplished, whatever you've done, it's God that's given you the ability. And sometimes, you know, as life goes on and as, you know, just our hearts, as a, you know, just the average everydayness of life goes on, and we go to work, and we go come home, and we feed the kids, and we go to bed, and we go to work, and we come home, and we feed the kids, and we go to bed, and we go to work, and we get a little fight with our wife, and we and we forget what God has done for us. I remember I've said before, you know, I never thought I would ever, as a young man, I remember, you know, seeing houses that were $100,000 and all this, and I thought, I will never, ever be able to buy a house. I remember the first house we bought, Suzanne and I, and I remember the sellers coming to us and saying, asking us, do you have any money to put down? And we kind of like look at each other and we go, well, $50? True story. And I can imagine how much they were laughing inside. But guess what? We bought that house with $50 to put down. And, you know, I look back on things like that, and I look back at we've bought two other houses since then. And each time, it's God. God has done miracles in our lives. It's miraculous what God can do. You know, but we can have something like that happen and not ever give thanks to God for it and not recognize that it was God that did it. It wasn't you. It wasn't your ability to produce wealth that bought that house for you. It was God who worked it out. It was God who made it happen. It's God who works in our lives. And he's saying to us, forget not all of his benefits. 2 Timothy 2, verse 7, I love this. He says, think over what I say. For the Lord will give you understanding in everything. We just read, you know, that they didn't understand. Their hearts were hardened. But this is what Paul is saying to Timothy, that if you think over these things, you know, as Philippians says, whatever is good, whatever is of good repute, whatever is wonderful, whatever is lovely. He says, think about these things. If you think on these things, God will give you understanding in everything. Wow, that's awesome. That's a powerful promise from God. He calls us to remember. He calls us to think. Think about, you know, as we go into this season, think about what God has done for you. Think about where you are right now in this moment. How did you get there? And recognize that whatever good there is in your life has come from God. And more often than not, if there's negative, that was because we walked away from God. That was because we weren't allowing God that place in our life that belongs to him. But guess what? God even can restore that, can't he? God does restore that because he's awesome. I read in Timothy this morning that even if we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. He will not disown himself. He will continue to show himself strong in your life. So that what we want to do this Thanksgiving is we want to thank God. We want to remember. You know, as you come to the table this Thanksgiving, and you're giving thanks, just ask God, or even better, well, not even better, but just as good, when you come this Tuesday night. The third thing that we want to talk about is tell. If you've got something to thank God for, if you've been remembering and thinking about something that God has blessed you with, then what he wants you to do is he wants you to tell somebody. So that's why around the Thanksgiving table this Thursday, tell someone of the benefits of God in your life. Tell someone. Tell a family member. Tell a friend. Tell someone what God has done for you. Tell the benefits of God. Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever." Then it says this, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." He wants you to tell somebody. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble." I'm going to ask the worship team if they come up right now. This Tuesday night, we're having our testimony service. It starts at 6:30. We're going to open up. The full worship team will be here. We're going to open up with three songs. And then we're going to open up this microphone, which will probably be down there, for you to come up and give a testimony. God wants you to tell what he has done in your life. Every one of you has a story to tell. So if you're able to come this coming Tuesday, I'm going to ask you to come out and join with us. It's always been one of my favorite services where we hear. Because you know what? You might think, well, everybody knows about it. No, everybody doesn't know about it. And even if they do, you'll be blessed in the telling and we'll be blessed in the hearing of the benefits of God in your life. Now, I didn't have time to go into exactly what some of these benefits are. But I'm going to ask you this week to read through Psalm 103 and to meditate on it. It's just powerful. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities." Has God forgiven you of iniquity? Who heals all your diseases? Have you received a healing? Has someone that you know received a healing? Have you prayed for someone and saw an instant healing? Have you received that healing yourself when someone prayed for you? Who redeems your life from the pit? Listen, if you're a Christian this morning, that's you this morning. Yeah, it is this morning. You know what that word pit means? It's literally saying he saved you from hell. He's redeemed your life from the pit. And he crowned you with steadfast love and mercy. Has he done that to you? He has to me. Like I said a few weeks ago, when the Lord said to me, "Do you love me?" And then he showed me that he just asked me the question, "Would you like to go back to where you were?" And I said, "No, Lord, I would never want to go back there." He's crowned me with loving kindness and compassion and mercy. And then he satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I remember after my open heart surgery how weak and frail I was, but I'm here to tell you now that my youth is renewed like the eagles. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed." There is no one that is being oppressed or that is involved in injustice right now that God isn't going to fight for them. "He made known his ways to Moses. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love, steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins." Can you say, "Thank you, Jesus"? And I'm not talking about the sins that you committed before you were a Christian, but the sins since then, because it's still a struggle, isn't it? "He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Can you say, "Thank you, God"? I love this one. "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." You know, a powerful illustration of this was given to me a few weeks ago. Lucy let us rent a movie, and we've since purchased it. It's The Life of Lee Strobel. What's the name of it again? Case for Christ. Thank you. Pray for my brain. It's missing today. Nobody home. The case for Christ. The sound of it makes you think, oh, this is going to be a boring movie. It is incredibly powerful. It's the life story of Lee Strobel and his wife and his family, who worked at the Chicago Tribune and was a total atheist. And it's how God drew him. And as he was trying to disprove Christ, there's one scene where he goes to this college professor and he's with his antagonism and his cynicism. And she just asks him this question. By the way, what kind of relationship did you have with your father? As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And you know, there's so many of us that verse doesn't mean anything to us. We didn't have a good relationship with our father. And she goes on and shows how so many of the men, like Voltaire and Nietzsche and others that were these major atheists, every one of them had a bad relationship with their father. I want you to know that God is a compassionate, loving Father, and He's revealed Himself to me as that. I know God as a loving Father. I didn't really know my earthly father at all. But I know God is my Father. And that is a precious thing to me. He loves you today. Don't forget His benefits this Thanksgiving. But thank Him. Meditate and ponder and remember what He's done. And then tell somebody. Tell someone. Come Tuesday night, prepare to tell someone what God has done. And on Thursday morning, or Thursday afternoon, or whenever you meet as a family, prepare to tell somebody what God has done in one way or another, and you will be blessed. I think we're going to go back to song number one. Let's close on that note. It is, oh happy day.